Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtatrashta Shri Srimad Abhay Charan Bhaktivaranta Samprabhupad Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Nama Acharya Shahridas Thakur Ki Premse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Arvita Gadadhara Shri Vas Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Radha Kun Shyama Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Jainitai Gaur Paramananda. All glories to the Assembly Devotees. All glories to the Assembly Devotees. All glories to the Assembly Devotees. All glories to the glories of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 8, chapter 16 and text 21. Somebody's phone. Anybody's here? Okay. So please repeat. Sa vidhasyate te kaman harir dinanukampanaha Amogha Bhagavat Bhaktir Netareti Matir Mama. Savidasyati te kaman Harir dinanukam panuhar Amogha Bhagavad Bhaktir Netareti Matir Mama Savidasyati Te Kaman Harir Dinanu Kampanaha Amogha Bhagavad Bhaktir Netareti Matir Mama Savidasyati te kaman Harir dinanu kampanaha Amogha Bhagavad Bhaktir Netareti matir mama. Mataji's? Saha hi Vasudeva. Vidyasyati will undoubtedly fulfill. Te your kaman desires. Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dina unto the poor. Anukampanaha, very merciful. Amogha, infallible. Bhagavat Bhaktihi, devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, not. Itara, anything but Bhagavat Bhakti. Iti, thus. Matihi, opinion. Mama, my. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very merciful to the poor, will fulfill all of your desires for devotional service unto him is infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. Purport. There are three kinds of men who are called Akama, Mokshakama, and Sarvakama. One who tries to get liberation from the material world is called Mokshakama. One who wants to enjoy this material world to its fullest extent is called Sarvakama. And one who has fulfilled all his desires and has no further material desires is called Akama. A bhakta has no desire. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. He is purified and free from material desires. The Mokshakami wants to achieve liberation by merging into the existence of the Supreme Brahman, and because of this desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is not yet pure. And since those who want liberation are impure, what to speak of the Karmis who have so many desires to fulfill? Nonetheless, the Shastra says, Akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendent loving service. Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Kashyapa Muni saw that his wife, Aditi, had some material desires for the welfare of her sons, but still he advised her to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, everyone, regardless of whether he is a karmi, jnani, yogi or bhakta, should invariably take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva and render transcendental loving service unto him, so that all his desires will be duly fulfilled. Krishna is Dina Anukampana. He is very merciful to everyone. Therefore, if one wants to fulfill his material desires, Krishna helps him. Of course, sometimes if a devotee is very sincere, the Lord, as a special favor to him, refuses to fulfill his material desires and directly blesses him with pure, unalloyed devotional service. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22, 38 and 39, Krishna kahe ama bhaje maga vishaya sukha amrita chadi vishamage ei bada murka ame vigya ei murke vishaya kene diba sva charanamrita divya vishaya bhulaiba. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendent loving service but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. If the devotee maintains some material desires and at the same time very sincerely desires to engage at the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna may directly give him unalloyed devotional service and take away all his material desires and possessions. This is the Lord's special favor to the devotees. Otherwise, if one takes to Krishna's devotional service but still has material desires to fulfill, he may become free from all material desires as Dhruva Maharaj did. But this may take some time. However, if a very sincere devotee wants only Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna directly gives him the position of Shuddha Bhakti, unalloyed devotional service. So, here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, then he's bringing up some of very, very important points. And the most important point here is that whether we take up the devotional service or not, it's depending purely upon us. We cannot blame anybody else. We may come in contact with pure devotees. Like we see, now, so many people came in contact with Krishna, Balaram. They came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But only some took up the devotional service. So then what to speak about nowadays? Pure devotees are there. But it depends on us whether we want to take up devotional service or not. If, like we see, the important point of how we decide, what is our consciousness? And as Srila Prabhupada said, for a devotee, then Krishna, when he really wants to show no special favor, then he does not give the material property or material prosperity to the devotee. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that those who are actually ready for it, pure devotees, what it is that if the devotee still has some material desires, that's not a big deal. We see Aditi, okay, she has materialistic desires. Okay. But then as she learns how to properly apply those in connection with the Lord, then it's devotional service. But if they are not connected, so anything, even not just karmis, but also jnanis, and even the yogis, as we heard, not connected to Krishna, not connected to the service to Krishna, it's useless. So what we need to do, learn how to connect what we do. There are two main principles. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So ultimately, we would like to always remember Krishna. But if we cannot, then we should practice, then never forget him. That means always remember is always chant the holy name. You will never forget Krishna. Examples, we have Haridas Thakur. His only service was to chant the holy name. Never forget Krishna. If he cannot, fine. Then follow the regulative principles. Make sure you don't break the regulative principles. Why? Because it will displease Krishna, displease Guru. So that way, we will always remember not to forget him. But if we don't do even that, then what are we doing? Then the devotional service is not really of a great quality. And then we also heard from the Shastra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks, Now, if the devotee practices devotional service, fine. He does something. Devotional service, even attempt to do devotional service, is the most pious activity. So then, if the devotee does not make it back to Godhead in this lifetime, okay, no problem, right? Then he will take next birth in the devotee family or very high-class Brahmana family. Or at least it will be rich man's family, so then he will get all the opportunities to continue in his devotional service. Sounds good. But it's not as easy. Now, if we look at how many, just taking birth, and even taking birth, in a devotee family, it does not guarantee that the child will grow up to be a great devotee. He is an individual. The parents are individual. Nobody can guarantee. So, very much depends on the association. And the child, he grows in wrong association, then he will he may choose something else than really devotional service, or at least not be very serious. The Maya is very strong. So, same being born in a rich family. Fine, okay, that's good. No, you got all opportunity. But where is the guarantee that you will get a good association, or even get a good association, or that you will take it and you will continue? Now, it's a risk. It's a risk to think that, anyway, I can just be less serious this lifetime, and next lifetime, of course, I will get a good birth. In devotee family, I can continue that time. Now, doing so, then what also happens that because of so many pious activities the devotee performs, then okay, he will go to heaven, maybe. Because pious activities, go and enjoy in the heaven. He deserves it. And then, after the enjoyment, comes back, and then what's here? Probably could be already Satya Yuga. So one can perform devotional service by meditation, but where is the golden age? Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Where is the movement of Srila Prabhupada? What do we know about Swayam Krishna? What do we know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That's great danger. Now we get such a unique opportunity. Swayam Krishna appears only once in the day of Brahma. That means 1,000 Mahayugas. That's how many? Four billion years? Such an opportunity we have. But we have to take it. If we are not serious, where is the guarantee that we will get the same opportunity again? So, this is just to little contemplate in what perfect situation now we are. And all we need to do then to decide to take up devotional service. So to take up devotional service, that means then how do we develop the desire for taking up devotional service? As we mentioned, association is very important. So associate with each other to discuss Krishna Katha, to discuss how we can perform and help each other in devotional service. What are the difficulties? How we can overcome the difficulties. And that way, then we can be always Krishna conscious. And this is something which anybody can practice. So it's very much depending upon each and every one how much we want to do, how much serious we want to become in devotional service. So Aditi, example, okay, now she has desires. If the desires get connected to the Lord, then there will be no problem. From that, it's a Sakama Bhakti. She is having desires, she will fulfill her desires, but in connection to the Lord. Next step, then when we realize, I would like to do something more for the Lord. What is it, something more? I want to do the service the way the Lord wants. I don't want to put my own desires there. Nishkama Bhakti. So when we perform the activities for the Lord as spoken or as desired by the Lord through Guru Sadhu Shastra, and we don't put our own interpretation into it, then it's Nishkama Bhakti. And then from that, then we can fully surrender to the Lord and have Lord completely control us, and Prema Bhakti. Under the influence of the Lord and the Lord's devotees, then we can fully develop the loving service unto the Lord. So opportunities are there, but we need to take it up very seriously. So then how do we do it? Because the mind is very tricky. Mind gives us a lot of trouble. But mind gives us trouble only because we let the mind give us trouble. It's because of our anarthas that we have wrong desires. Having wrong desires, then we will develop the taste for doing what's wrong. And distaste for what's right. So working on the anarthas, that's the right way how we can achieve the highest level of bhakti. Cheto darpana marjanam. We need to purify our heart. And not through the purification of the heart, then we can understand the topmost level of devotional service. But what about the anarthas? Oh, so then we chant and anarthas will go away. It's true. But Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur, then he talks about there are anarthas coming from different sources. Activities, our activities. And through those activities we develop anarthas. What are these activities? Sinful activities. We do something which is sinful. You get anarthas. Something, we do pious activities. Mundane pious activities. You get anarthas. We perform seva parat. We get anartha. And by performance of nama parat, we get anarthas. Now, there are four kinds of anarthas, and each of the anarthas are a little bit different. Then he elaborates more on how the anarthas, by the performance of devotional service, how do they disappear? And he has levels of how the anarthas slowly disappear. So first level is partially. Second level, then is almost gone. Then third level is they are gone. And fourth level is they are absolutely, completely gone. So we understand partially, fine. Something is there. Almost, yeah, just little left. But what is the difference between they are completely and then absolutely completely? The example is given of a hink. You put a hink in the box. Then, you take a little bit of the hink, it still smells, right? Take a little bit more, there's a little piece, it still smells. Then you take everything out, but the box still smells, even though the hink is completely gone. It takes time for the smell to go also. So that's the difference. So now, then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he elaborates on that the anarthas from maybe a little bit, anartha is a seed of the desire. And the anartha, the seed, makes us, when properly situated, think according to what the anartha is about. I'll give you an example. We may have some specific weakness that we may like some sweet or some can be, say, pancake, okay? Now, based on that, or rasagula, we like to taste rasagula. So when we see rasagula, we just prasadam, take it, fine, that's very good. Now, when we see rasagula, and the anartha is there for to taste rasagula, then the question whether it's whether it is prasadam or not may not be really relevant. Wow, rasagula, I want, but there's not prasadam. Okay, Shivishnu, just eat it, right? We don't care. Why? Because the lust, the anartha connects to the object and immediately thinking, feeling, willing, acting happens. When there is no anartha, then okay, rasagula, that's nice, but it's not prasad. I'm sorry, please offer it, and then we can have. Madhavendra Puri, right? When he thought about, I would like to taste the kheer of Gopinath to make it for my Gopal. Oh, what am I doing? That's not being offered. I'm such an offender. So, this is what anartha does. It develops our thinking into feeling and willing, and then we act on it. If there is no anartha, there is no thinking, there is no feeling, and there is no willing. We are free. Shukadev Goswami, 16-year-old boy running naked, seeing naked girls. He is undisturbed, they are undisturbed. He is totally focused on something else. So, there is no anartha, there is no desire. Another 16-year-old boy would probably act differently. So, because of anarthas. So now, these anarthas, we have anarthas from sinful activities and anarthas from pious activities. Then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, those are easy to remove. You just perform devotional service, and by the level of Nishta Ruchi, they are completely, absolutely completely gone. The taste for performing any sinful or pious activities is gone because there is a Ruchi. Ruchi for taking up devotional service. So there is not even like the smell of it. It's gone. Then the anarthas from Sevaparat. These anarthas, they stay a little longer. But he says, don't worry about it. You just perform devotional service. And by performing devotional service, the anarthas from Sevaparat, means from doing devotional service, will also go. At the time of Asakti, then they are absolutely completely gone. No problem. But there is a real danger. A danger is from Namaparat. He says that the anarthas coming from Namaparat, they get removed absolutely completely only at the platform of Prema. What does that mean? That means that whatever Namaparat we are committing, the feeling, the understanding of it, that we had done something wrong, we will carry with us until the Pratam of Prema. Which right now we may not even worry about it, right? Now just doing some Namaparat, not blaspheme someone, it may not hurt us very much. But it's wrong. We should get really hurt. We should really be very scared of committing any Namaparat. Because when we get purified, so these anarthas become more and more prominent. It's like if you have a cloth which is dirty. Will you see, some speck of dirt on it? No, because it's all dirty anyway. But as you start washing it, and the cloth becomes more and more clean, but there is one spot which you cannot wash. And you start to focus on the spot, and you cannot wash it, and becomes very annoying. That's how it becomes, more and more prominent. And because of that spot, you cannot wear it. That's what it does. The devotees, now, when they are on the Hara platform, any resemblance of that, I was so foolish to do that, it's very disturbing. We see on the case of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, he had two desires, right? He wanted the kingdom greater than Brahma, and he wanted his stepmother to die. Yeah, fine. Okay, five-year-old boy. What can you say? Then he does austerity. He performs sacrifice. And he does see the Lord. And the Lord gives him just everything. He gets purified. Then, so then what would you want? Oh, my dear Lord, I don't want anything. I'm just happy seeing you, being with you. I have no materialistic desires anymore. But you wanted something. Have it. The Lord insisted. Okay, then he did get it. But later on, in the next chapter, then what is it? It's a lamentation of Dhruva Maharaj. He was lamenting how foolish he was that he was approaching the Lord through materialistic desires. So, we don't have to do that. But we have to be very conscious of the nama aparat. This is the Vaishnava's greatest danger. And out of nama aparat, the unfortunately most common is the Vaishnava aparat. We have to be very careful not to commit Vaishnava aparat. We should be very scared of Vaishnava aparat. Then when we do that, then at least we stop creating more of these anarthas. We should not think that, no, committing Vaishnava aparat and then later on say, just sorry, that everything is finished. Everything will catch up with us later. So let's take it seriously and not to commit Vaishnava aparat, not to commit any nama aparat, so we don't have to later on face these difficulties in our devotional service. So this, if we can do that, then the performance, the coming to the high level of devotional service, it's easier. And anybody can do that. It's just a question of how we approach this simple knowledge. How seriously we take it. Any questions? Yes. The mic is here.
Thank you very much, Pratiwadan Mashai, for your class. That was very inspiring. Not the most inspiring, but definitely very inspiring, that one of the classes that I've heard. So my question is, I heard from Shyam Sundar Baba from Vrindavan, this, I don't know if this is true or not, but he was saying, you were talking a lot about anarthas, right? And for me, the biggest anartha I have in my heart is my sex desire. And so this Shyam Sundar Baba, he was telling me that in the spiritual world, there is, in Golok Vrindavan, this sexual rasa is available for the shanta, those who are situated in shanta rasa, like the birds, the beasts, the snakes, the cows, the bulls, and also those who are situated in madhurya rasa, the gopis. But for any of else like the vatsalya, the sakya, and the dasya rasa, it's not available. So my question is, how do you, have you heard anything regarding any scriptural evidence for that, or
it doesn't really matter, these are not connected at all. The point is, our sexual desire here is lust, it's nothing to do with rasa.
I'm not talking about a rasa in this material world, I'm talking about in the spiritual world. My question is, have you heard anything about that, or like in studying the scriptures or anything? Because I know I respect you as a very...
Srila Prabhupada didn't speak about that. Didn't hear.
And so then, just to finish the question, how would you advise someone who has an anartha for sex desire to get, what is the best number one way to get rid of this anartha? Or multiple ways, or just what is your recommendation, being a brahmachari, senior brahmachari, and a senior teacher at the Gurukul? So
look, sex desire is just another manifestation of lust. So just working only on sex desire and then maintain the other lusty desires just won't do.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean, other lusty desires?
Lust for food, for example.
But isn't that a much better desire than lust for woman?
Could be, but it's nonetheless lust. As long as there is lusty desire, then you are in trouble. And then, lust for food, tongue, belly, genitals. Anyway, it leads to lust for sex, right?
Mm.
That's what Rupa Goswami explains. So, now working on one, but not working on the other ones, it won't really help that much.
So you have to work on
So we have to overcome the lusty desires. And then the lusty desires then overcome not through devotional service. So we have to just seriously take up devotional service and do what we can. Now sometimes the mind just gives us trouble. Being the food or being the sex or whatever it may be. Now if it happens that we fall for it. Now, what is our reaction? That's very important. If the reaction is, I don't mind, I don't care anyway, why should I pretend? I feel like doing it, so I'm doing it. That's not very devotional, and that's not very purifying either. Now, if the devotee really wants to get rid of that lusty desire, so when he falls down, then he should think, wow, that was...
Well, when he falls down.
Falls down for it.
Okay. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, he falls down for it. Then, that his reaction to that should be great regret. And he should try to figure out what was wrong. Analyze the situation. How did I get into it? I didn't want to get into it, but I did. What could I do differently next time not to get into it? So using his intelligence to control his mind. That's how you could do it. Analyze what happened wrong. But if you don't care about it, you will not get rid of it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes. Thank you very much.
So, then if we sincerely try to overcome our weaknesses, then the Lord, He is the one who gives the buddhi, right? He gives us intelligence. So He guides us, and He can, either it can be through association, or He can guide us to get instructions from others, from Shastra, from Guru. And through our sincerity, we can overcome that. That's the process. Now, if we do that, then that lusty desires will disappear from the heart. There is one. We went in Andhra Pradesh, and in one village there is a deity of Mohini Murti. And from what I know, this is the only deity of Mohini Murti.
Where? Andhra
What's
Pradesh.
The name of the... Ragi? It's a Ragi. Yeah. Rani. It's one village there. And it's a beautiful deity. In fact, it's Svayambhu. Self-manifested deity. But it looks just amazing. Now, from the front of the deity, you see Lord Vishnu. And from the back of the deity, it's Mohini Murti. And that's the time when Mohini Murti was going away and Lord Shiva was running after her. So then, Lord Vishnu, then being merciful, so he turned around to give darshan to Lord Shiva as Vishnu to show him, don't do that, no need. So Lord Shiva got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, but at the back, still Mohini Murti. So that deity specifically is meant for to pray to remove one's lusty desires. Mm. So maybe if you
pray to that Mohini Murti Didi, then the lusty desires will be reduced. Is that what you're saying? Have you been to that Murti, that Didi? Have you been to that village? Like,
yes, yeah, we went there just a few months ago.
And what is the name of the village? Because I would like to go there, actually. Like, seriously, after hearing
it, that. It's a Rajmundri nearby, and it was like maybe an hour and a half by bus.
And what is the name of the mandir called?
Mohini Murti.
Mohini Murti.
Right, and Mohini Murti Mandir,
and
no?
Pro, what is the village name?
Rani.
So, just a quick second
beautiful
question.
And the deity, now there is Dashavatar, above the deity, there are various sages, Narada Muni is there, and there is a small little deity of Ganga Devi at the feet of Lord Vishnu. And there is water coming, constantly coming from Ganga Devi. Ganga water.
Adivo. And that's like a mystical thing that of Ganga Devi coming from the feet? Or
just when you go there, try to pray
to get some realization
or to her to remove all the lusty desires, not just sex, nothing, just all the lusty desire, fully surrender, and then with the proper mood it will happen.
Okay. Thank you. And then Pru, you were saying I was reading in Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's book, it says where in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana it says, women are the living chain that bind the conditioned soul to this world. So my question is, you're talking about a lot about association, so how would you advise someone as a brahmachari who, I'm now practicing brahmachari, but I told you this morning, I'm going to have to get married at some point because I can't control my sex desire fully. So how would you advise a brahmachari to pick and choose his association in the best possible way? Because you mentioned a lot about association. And also Rupa Goswami states in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu twice. First he said you should stay away from bad association, and you should also try to find good association. And then Madhavacharya also states that you should seek out good association with like-minded persons if you want to seek out association. Otherwise, you should stay association with yourself, like alone, association with yourself. So how those three things connected, could you comment on that? Like how someone can...
Look, in fact, now, again, the Shastra says the boy, when he reaches 5-year-old age, then he should go to Gurukul. So by that age, then he is at the Grihastha scene. He is taken care of by the mother, by the father. And but then the boy should be separated and then he should be in Gurukul in the association of Brahmacharis.
Prabhupada said that a sex desire can be seen even within a 5-year-old child. I've read that.
The sex desire will be there, but not manifested yet. That manifests during the puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when in the proper association, under the guidance, performing devotional service, the child is being trained as a brahmachari. Now, if he is properly guided, he may get the opportunity to get rid of his anarthas before they manifest.
Yeah.
So then later on, he will get no or very minimal of some materialistic desires, and he can continue as a Nashtika Brahmachari. Now, if he does not get his desires removed, then okay, fine. Then he needs to maybe get married, because the desire for sex grows subtle, it doesn't matter. Maybe there. So then he gets married. But the marriage is for what purpose? Not to enjoy. The marriage is there to get the realization as the Naishtika Brahmachari gets by not marrying, he gets that by getting married. So at the end now of the married life, he takes vanaprastha sannyas, and now he achieved the same realization as the Naishtika Brahmachari. So
that's why he
is still trained in the beginning as a brahmachari. He's just called Upakurvana Brahmachari.
So could you repeat that again? Who gets the same result as the Naishtika Brahmachari?
Grihastha. Not Grihamari, Grihastha.
Okay, I have one question on that. Like, I know, like, Gogovinda Maharaj used to state, do you know how many times I've released semen in my life? And he used to say this openly in Bhagavatam class, because I've talked to many Gogovinda Maharaj disciples. Uh-huh. And he used to say, do you know how many times I've released semen in my life? 7. Do you know how many kids I have? 7. So yes. That's what I would consider a grihastha.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But for someone like me, I'm not will not be able to follow that standard. So how would you recommend that one go about?
At some point you have to start following. So as maybe you don't follow in the beginning, okay, but then as the body gets older, then you get more opportunities not to have sex for any reason. So then there's a time to take vanaprastha.
Yeah.
So and you can do it. So anybody can if the desire is there. Everything is for it. As the body gets older, the lusty desires get weaker. So if we don't fan that and if we don't want that specifically, it's just to our advantage.
Yeah. Sorry, I took so much of your time. Thank you very much. That answers a lot of my questions. Is there anyone else here in the class who wants to ask a question?
Hare Krishna. Yeah. I want to ask a question. Like, it is connected to one of the purport of Prabhupada. Like, in many of the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning that we are having thousands and thousands of desires, and it is flowing continuously through many, many lifetimes. And in this particular human form, we are not able to control or even remember what were our past desire. And slowly when we come to devotional service, slowly the past desires, whatever material desires are there, they are little diminishing. But they still exist in a small stone form of a dust particle level also. So even if we try to control the mind, try to do sadhana, try to do devotional service, still within our mind, some particles of those anartha, some Vaishnava aparad, or something is still existing within our heart, core of a heart.
Yes.
So how to overcome all these things?
See, you cannot overcome that yourself anyway. There's no chance. Because the influence is so great. So the only hope is that by performance of devotional service, we show an determination. I really want to get rid of it. But I understand, Mahamaya is very strong. By myself, I cannot. So by giving, showing the sincerity by our determination, then this is when Krishna shows mercy upon us. And even though we deserve to get some reactions, or we deserve to get more entangled into the materialistic activities, he will not give it to us. But only if we really want it. Because then, when we don't get it, we will not blame Krishna that we didn't get it. That means all. That means that we don't lose something. Now, losing something, right, if I can be spared of that, that's very good. But I'm supposed to get $1 million, and Krishna didn't give it to me, right? Easy to blame the Lord for, that means everything. If we are sincerely we are determined to get rid of our attachments, Krishna will help. But if we are just saying it, but inside, yeah, I wouldn't mind, no, to get this, to get that, then Krishna will be very careful. That's like when somebody is attached, right? And no, he's attached to, no, I want to marry that girl. And then you try to tell him, don't marry that one, no, that's not good. It will not work good. And you try to, no, convince him and be happy with him. He may say, okay, I'll try this, that. But then it works out at the end that actually you don't want him, it's very good, and you don't like him. You may break your relationship. That's a reality. Because of attachment, he is unable to see that you are trying to help him. He will not. He will not appreciate it. So same way, when we are attached, Krishna helping us will not be really, no, the best. That's why he only does to the devotees whom he sees that they are sincerely trying with determination to overcome that. Then he will not give. And he will take away whatever is necessary. And it can happen in one moment. Yes? Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai Nitai Gaur Paramananda. Thank you.